presented by Haley Sansing, Union Home Mortgage. Matt Cope along with Lars. Our main man, Justin Jones, is back at our Tide 109 studios, the flagship station, and he is literally our captain. Our venue today is unlike we've had in the past because I'm staring over a beautiful putting surface here at the Greystone Legacy Golf Course. And I got to tell you, Lars must be a really dedicated guy to Big Noon Sports because we pulled him off the 13th green to get him here. And Lars, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful studio. And it's all with Patty Bromberg and Bridgeways.
Yeah, we are at the Kathleen P. Bruin Memorial Leadership Open. It's brought to us by Bridgeways. And I was able to go off at about 8:30 this morning. Got 13 holes in with my group. It's a Texas scramble, and we're doing pretty good. You know, I think we're about 4 or 5 under, and just really having a fun time. It could not be a more picture-perfect day. The temperature has dropped. Just a few clouds in the sky. And Matt, I mean, this is, I think you mentioned yesterday, you predicted it, that it was going to be a Chamber of Commerce type of morning and afternoon. And that is what we're getting. And you know what, Matt? We deserve it. We deserve it.
After this heat? Whoa. It's been incredible. But Lars, if we wanted to drive to Jacksonville, Alabama, or downtown to Protective Stadium, we could see football, live college football, in Birmingham, in Jacksonville, Alabama. Not to mention the fact that a lot of eyes will be on Utah, Salt Lake City. Florida opens there. But I guess this is a long way of me saying that, man, it's here. We're not really just talking about it anymore.
No, it's here, and just week one of the college football season. You know, there were a couple of decent games in week zero, but today we got Florida, Utah, we got Nebraska again. My Cornhuskers are playing at Minnesota, and there's several good games tonight, good games tomorrow, a slate of great games on Saturday that will feature Alabama opening the season. It will feature Auburn opening the season. And you know, I love this time of year, Matt, because everybody is just dreaming. Everybody is 0-0 for the most part if you didn't play in week zero. And the slate is clean, the canvas is blank, and anything is possible. Anything is possible.
Absolutely. And, of course, it is not possible to tell you who the starting quarterback is at Alabama. And as weary as we get talking about it, I think it was of note. He was asked in his last news conference before the game specifically about Ty Simpson and how he's looked. And as Nick will do, he threw laurels all at Ty Simpson, just talking about how good he looked. But I think he said that about other players and other quarterbacks. So that didn't tell me he was going to start. That's for sure, Lars.
No. I think we can deduce, though, that Jalen Milroe is going to start. And depending on how things go, I think he'll get the majority of the snaps in the first half. I believe that the second quarterback to play will be Ty Simpson. And then perhaps we'll see Buckner. Perhaps we'll see Lonergan. But I think, you know, it all kind of depends about the matter at hand, and that is to win the football game. And this is a team, Matt, as we discussed yesterday, Middle Tennessee State, that can't be taken lightly.
No, they really can't. They can throw the ball, experienced coach. This is a team that almost went to a bowl last year. I think they finished 4-7, something like that. But they're a good team, and they're – prediction this year is to be competitive in their league once again, because they're still in Conference USA. Lars, I need a roadmap here to keep up with where teams are, but UAB left Conference USA. Jacksonville State entered it, and Middle Tennessee State stayed. If I got this right,
I think you're right. I think
all
you're right.
Right. But they're picked to compete in that league, and I fully expect them to give them about 8 minutes of heck.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's not just going to be Alabama feasting on a cupcake. I think there will be at least 5, 10, 15 minutes perhaps of quality football. But going back to what you mentioned, that how Nick Saban talked about Ty Simpson, and he just said that, you know, he's really showing good mental fortitude and that he's a player who recovers quickly from mistakes. And that is so vital to the process, especially for the quarterback. You have to treat each play like its own living, breathing organism. And once that play is over, it is to be wiped from memory, whether or not it was good or bad or just so-so. Like, just do not let that previous play influence, impact how you are going to perform for the next play. And so when he says that Ty Simpson is a player who recovers quickly from mistakes, that is actually very high praise from Nick Saban. And also, one thing that I'm going to be looking at as well on Saturday night in Tuscaloosa, Matt, is penalties. Can Alabama eliminate the penalties that really hamstrung this team last year? Alabama was uncharacteristically undisciplined, and when it came to penalties, and that is not a characteristic of a Nick Saban team. And so I think it will be telling just to see just how crisp everything is. I mean, and that goes from, you know, getting the play call in on time, having the quarterback make sure that everybody is in the right position, making sure that everybody gets the proper call. There's no false starts. And, you know, it may sound mundane, but it's these little things that you have to master before you can get on to the bigger things.
I think last year, and you said it uncharacteristic, the number of penalties and crucial penalties in those really, really tight games. Alabama had penalties that may come close to costing them a game. But that's got to tear a coach that is so disciplined and so detailed. You start making dumb penalties. And there were several games last year where there was 10-plus, weren't there?
Yeah.
And that's just not anything you would ever expect.
And at critical, you know, the Tennessee game, right? The penalty on the interception, which should have ended the game, was just ridiculous. But nonetheless, you still have to fight through it. Let's face it. This last year was not a typical Nick Saban coach team. And what was the reasons for that? I mean, I'm 100% sure that there was so much self-analysis, self-scouting done in the off-season of what went wrong, why it went wrong, what did they do wrong in practice, and how can you remedy that in practice. And we'll see the results of that on Saturday night. And I think you are going to see a much crisper Alabama team.
And as much as we talk about the quarterbacks, and you know what, Lars, we've talked about this too to death, but we won't know anymore on Labor Day. So we'll still be talking about it all next week, maybe the first third of the season. I don't know. But I don't think we talk enough about the defense. There are some skilled players over there. Help me count here, Lars. Are there 3 first-rounders there already?
Kool-Aid may go
to top 5, right?
I think Kool-Aid and Dallas Turner are potentially top 5 picks. I think Dallas Turner has a chance to be the defensive player of the year. The expectations were really high on Dallas Turner last year because the thinking was that Will Anderson was going to attract so much attention from offenses that it would free up Dallas Turner. And for whatever reason, it just didn't turn out the way that we thought it was. But from everything I'm hearing and everything I know you're hearing too, that Dallas Turner has just been an absolute terror in practice. And I think he is poised to be perhaps not just the best defensive player in the SEC, but in the entire country.
Well, he has a skill set, and I really thought Saban did a good thing in answering the question here earlier this week. He made it a point to say, he's not Will Anderson, and he is his own man. He's going to be the leader of this team on defense. Saban has given that up as well, but he's not the same player. He's not the same body type. So you can't expect him to come in there and be able to dominate, although I think you see his presence early and often. Hey, we are coming to you live from Legacy at Greystone for the Bridgeways Golf Tournament, where young people learn to care, connect, and contribute. We'll be back with more. Got a loaded show. We'll talk some UAB football with Steve Irvine in the second hour. And Lars, I don't know who's going to be walking by here, but we got several
Alabama players. And but on the other side, let's talk about a world record that was set last night.
Yes, one that you're very proud of. You're listening to Big News Sports.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather. Partly to mostly sunny this afternoon, the high today in the upper 80s at 88. Mostly fair tonight, the low 69. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds, the chance of a few passing showers or thunderstorms during the day, the high at 84. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From T-Town to the plains. This is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
What a beautiful day. 24 degrees, very low humidity, and we appreciate it. Please Google Bridgeways and find out how you can help and contribute to this fine organization. They help young people out, and that's really about all you need to say. Especially in this day and age, our youth need help. So direct your time, your money, whatever you can to this very worthwhile organization. It's Matt and it's Lars. Justin is back at the studio taking care of everything. Now, and I just said this to you candidly during the break, we're 2 days away from kicking off the Alabama football, and yet we're going to talk volleyball. Nothing wrong with the sport. The timing seems a little bit odd. But, Lars, it happened with your school, your university, and it is it's worldwide above-the-fold news.
Yeah, it's a lead on SportsCenter. It was a lead story on CNN. And I just am so proud of what Nebraska fans did last night. For those who haven't seen it, the images from Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Nebraska are just absolutely stunning, captivating, riveting. So here's what happened. 92,003 fans gathered at Memorial Stadium
to watch. Say that again, just for effect.
92,003 fans gathered at Memorial Stadium. You got to remember, the third biggest city in Nebraska is 60,000. Okay? 60,000. I believe the math comes to like one out of every, there's 1.6 million, I think, in Nebraska, in the state, or 1.5. So, I mean, you can do the math. So it's like one out of every 12 or something was, at Memorial Stadium last night to watch the Nebraska women's volleyball team play the University of Nebraska at Omaha, volleyball team. And, it set a world record for the most fans to ever attend a women's sporting event. Let me repeat that. set a world record for the most fans ever attending a women's sporting event. It topped the previous mark of 91,648 set by FC Barcelona Femenina last year. And not only that, it was the it also was the attendance record for Memorial Stadium, where the Nebraska Cornhuskers play football.
Now that's amazing.
I don't know. I'm gonna get emotional here. Like it was so powerful. The Lady Huskers, they did the tunnel walk. And it was just, the crowd was just thundering. And I mentioned this yesterday. This wasn't just a celebration of the Nebraska women's volleyball team. And they do have one of the best programs in the country. They've won multiple national championships in the last decade. But this was a celebration of women's sports. And just in how much support women's sports have, not just in Nebraska, but really all around the country. And there's a couple things here, 2 points I want to make. And the first one was made by Robbie Glenn, who is going to join us here in a little bit. Robbie's a former Alabama baseball player, kind of served as our reporter during Alabama's run through the college playoffs. But Robbie said, you know, this is Nebraska, just the fans just saying, screaming to the sports world, we are relevant. We are relevant. I think it's important to note that Nebraska football team is on the road. They're playing in Minneapolis tonight, and there's going to be about 40,000 Nebraska fans there. And so you could make the argument that the most diehard of diehard Nebraska fans weren't even in Lincoln last night.
They stayed home to witness a victory.
Well, yeah. Okay. You just put me in my place. By the way, lock of the year plus 7. Take the Huskers tonight. Load up. Regardless, Matt, it was such a special scene. I talked to so many of my friends in Lincoln who, you know, it wasn't just like dads taking their daughters. It was dads taking their sons. It was the old and the young, the rich and the poor, the white and black. I mean, it was just if you just Google Nebraska women's volleyball and you look at the images from last night, it blows your freaking mind.
Yeah, the event in itself, I mean, when you just visually, you check out the pictures, you go, that's one of the craziest, wildest, greatest things I've ever seen. All for women's athletic, all for NU. By the way, who won?
Oh, Nebraska. Nebraska did. They beat UNO, Nebraska Omaha. But you know, that really wasn't the point. You know, it wasn't the point of who wins or who loses. It's a celebration of women's sports, and just how cool. I mean, seriously, I'm looking at a picture, Matt. Here, I'll show you. Just looking at a picture.
I know, it's an aerial. I saw that last night.
Of Memorial Stadium.
And it's red.
It's all red. For me and for you, we have, between the two of us, what? We have covered 5,000 sporting events. I don't know.
You know what?
It's rare. It's rare that something is different. This was different.
It was special and global, because that's not just a Nebraska record or a Big Ten or a Big 12 record or an American record. That's the largest number of people that have ever witnessed a woman's sport ever.
it really got me thinking, well, could Alabama do something like this? And we talked about it yesterday, how sort of the marquee sport, the marquee women's sport, at least from where I sit, is women's gymnastics.
Right.
And could you hold a women's gymnastics meet at Bryant-Denny? And I just don't think you could because of potential of condensation on the beam or and wind. It would just be really tough to do that.
You ever thought about the wind? Because it wouldn't. Of course, it would take a gale force wind to blow me off a balance beam. But those little girls that you know how wide a balance beam is.
Like 6 inches or like 8 inches? Oh, it's 4 inches.
I mean, my foot's wider than that.
You're very familiar with 4 inches.
Well, only on that regard. Whoa, Lars,
yes.
Did you go to the Bloody Mary bar this morning?
No.
I'm just joking. Anyway, the significance is duly noted, and quite honestly, I hope that other sports venues, you did say, like ESPN, is their lead story.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
I hope other...
And not only that, they spent a good... Excuse me for interrupting, Matt. They spent a good 4 or 5 minutes on it. And ESPN is not invested in women's college volleyball. It was broadcast on the Big Ten Network, and usually ESPN, what do they cover? They cover the sports that they have purchased.
Absolutely. And that's why they no longer cover anything or even mention NASCAR.
That is ridiculous.
Yes.
And that has hurt NASCAR so much. Because when I was covering NASCAR sort of week in and week out, and you were as well, it was always the lead story on Sunday night. Who won the NASCAR race?
And that's because they covered it. And you know what? That borders on being disgraceful. It's certainly not very respectful. Because there's still a lot of NASCAR fans.
Yes.
That want to see that, want to see, you know. And they used to give the scores, give the finishing order, and then Dick Trickle would finish like 27. They always put Dick Trickle up there. They had fun with it. It's a funny name. Right?
Yeah. It's like, no, but isn't it like, okay, we get it. We get it already. It's a funny name, but it's like every single time, single race. And, even when they were... it would be like a lead story on SportsCenter. There'd be some backhanded way that they would demean the sport.
Yeah, especially those guys that went to Syracuse. All right, I'm not going to go into that. And Northwestern, which I would have gladly gone to either because of their journalism school. But all is good. Lars, it's such a beautiful day. Golly. When will these guys come in? You teed off at 8:30.
We teed off at 8:30, so my guys should be coming in here pretty much any minute. So it's 4 hours. They may have slowed a little because cigars were hand delivered by Patty Bromberg, our good friend.
Well, I'm proof of it, right?
Yeah, cigars were hand delivered. Are you a cigar person?
Yeah.
I
don't make an effort to buy them often. I always buy them on the third Saturday of October. I smoked one last October anyway. Even though we lost, I could say we, because I don't like Tennessee. But, I am. And we've talked, we'll do this in an hour. We'll talk to Reagan from R&R because he specializes in cigars and bourbon. And you know, what a fan of bourbon I am, particularly the Kentucky distilled whiskeys. They're unbelievable.
Have I mentioned to you just really quickly about cigars? One day I go to work. I'm like 27 years old. Go into the Time and Life building. I'm riding, getting the elevator to go to the Sports Illustrated offices on the 19th floor. And right as the doors are closing, a hand reaches in, stops the door, and I was the only one in the elevator. These two really, really big guys come in, and then Fidel Castro gets in the elevator.
Now, sometimes you just make stuff.
No, I swear to God. I swear to God. Fidel Castro. And he was standing right in front of me. And I was just like, oh, my God, it's Fidel Castro. But then I was struck with one other thing, Matt. He smelled like a cigar.
That's the first thing you notice when we're in R&R. I like the odor. It's, if you will, it's kind of manly.
No, I like it too. And at R&R, he did. He had the green uniform on. Yeah, he was in uniform.
Old beard, old Castro.
Yeah, the beard. It's almost like I could smell the beard too.
Oh, disgusting. here's something I don't know if you're aware about Fidel Castro. He loves baseball. I know that doesn't surprise you. Know, that doesn't surprise you. He was really good. They said when he was playing in Cuba, obviously before he reached his fame and fortune, I guess he was willed into that anyway. I'm not sure of the legacy there. But they said he would have easily played Double A in the United States.
Really?
Yeah.
He was that good?
That good.
Wow.
So how's that for a Cuban? I have no idea where that came.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Well, we're having a great time out here at Legacy at Greystone as we continue our broadcast to bring more notoriety to the efforts of Bridgeways, where young people learn to care, connect, and contribute big time. Big time organization taking care of our kids. Is there anything more important? Back with more of Big Noon Sports in just a moment. Steve Irvine will be joining us in, I think, about 15 minutes. I moved him up to get the golfers.
T-Town to the Plains. This is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
Big Noon Sports. Matt Coulter along with Lars Anderson and Justin Jones back in the studio. Speaking of the studio. 205-342-9904, and that's where we're going to go. Digger has joined us on Big Noon Sports. Hello, Digger. You there? You can't mime on the radio, Digger.
Matt, you've been doing talk radio for how many years?
First started 32 years ago.
Is there one call that sticks out to you?
Oh, my God.
I love asking you these questions. Oh, I totally blindsided you.
Oh, yeah. When I first got into it, and I had, I guess, my fin hadn't thickened, but I let a guy get to me. I don't remember who it was. That one popped in mind because, unfortunately, sometimes the negative pops up first. But I got irate, and I almost cussed the guy. But I challenged him, and I put him down because he deserved it.
Do you remember what he did to get under your skin?
Oh, yeah. He was questioning my knowledge of Alabama football. And I just promptly said, hey, man, I've been in the press boxes for 12 years. I've been following it for 32. If you really going to challenge me on this? And I think I instructed the producer to cut him off. He was an intoxicated man. He didn't like me for something I did on Channel 13, so he wanted to. But I really didn't want to go in that direction. Can I get back to you on that?
Yeah.
Because that's one of the best questions I've ever been asked.
Along with what you're saying, I'm relatively good friends with Wright Thompson from ESPN, who is just an amazing writer. And he got off social media a few years ago because he ended up, a reader engaged him, and Wright got so mad, he ended up challenging him to a fight. And Wright finally was just like, what am I doing? And the thing is, Wright Thompson is so immensely talented that he doesn't need. So I really, none of us need social media, but Wright just said, you know, forget this. And he hasn't been back. And, you know, from the few times I've talked to him, he's told me it's one of the best moves he's ever made. Because he just...
Get out of it?
Well, get out of social media. Get off of social media. Because I think it had to do with somebody was saying some bad stuff about his father. And
that's
really...
that's pushing the line.
Yeah.
But
people do that on social media, you know, because there's no accountability. And it's even worse now as far as I'm concerned. But anyway.
Hey, while we wait on Patty. Oh, she's coming up right now. Remind me, I'll tell you about another call that immediately comes to mind. And it involves, believe it or not, Basil Hayden.
We were talking about Basil Hayden. We were just sipping Basil Hayden the other day with
R&R.
With our good buddy Reagan. And, boy, is there anything sexier than a woman smoking a cigar?
I don't know. You know, that's why women back in the day, according to what I read, that's why they wore gloves.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Somebody told me
that's why they wore white. That's why they wore white gloves.
I don't know why that, because it would just stain the
gloves.
Here
comes a beautiful blonde smoking a cigar.
Please
have a seat. We are on air.
Two
women. All right.
Was in her wake.
Here, Patty. Yes, have a seat. Yes, we are on air. Okay, so join Patty Bromberg. Patty, why don't you just tell us...
And Francis Faulkner.
Patty, why don't you tell us... Patty's been here since 5:30, and it's she's been having a good time since, 6:30. But tell us just about this event, and tell us about Bridgeways.
Well, this event is... we raise money for the Kathleen P. Broome Memorial Leadership Open, and it is a... scholarship that we give out to a graduating senior, and this year's recipients were a young girl, Nora Ellis from Thompson High School, and Jessica Joy Ferguson from Pelham, and we had a tie this year, so that has never happened, so both girls were very deserving, and they just exemplified and carried on the legacy of Kathleen Broome, who they started this for. And Kathleen was her baby. It was Campfire then, and we've changed our name to Bridgeways. But we are just continuing that.
And so what exactly is Bridgeways? We've had you on before. You've been kind enough to have me talk to your group. Just tell us a little bit about Bridgeways and what you guys do.
Well, we have in-school programs that we do. We have like anti-bullying, Links Up, My Choices Matter, Tricky People. And we have, we go into the schools and the teachers actually request us. So we service about 14,000 kids in Central Alabama. Which is really unbelievable. And teachers love for us to come in because they're getting stuff that, you know, they're not getting at home, or just especially with things happening to kids today with the anti-bullying. That is really huge because of the internet.
And what drew you to work for Bridgeways?
Well, I actually know the family. I grew up with the family, so I actually knew Kathleen. She was just a wonderful, incredible woman. And her daughter, Katie, is my age. We grew up together. And I got to know Nancy Meadows, who's the CEO right now of Bridgeways. And she asked me to come in and help with events, because I did do events before Bridgeways, and I still do. But I do, like, you know, parties and events, all kinds of stuff.
Really?
And so that's what she brought me in to help. And I jumped at it because it's good work.
You know, you have a legendary last name in this state, Bromberg. Do you feel compelled every time you go out to really be wearing nice jewelry?
No. No, it's a very nice family. It's a very nice, nice family.
It is. I know and, a lot of your family, and you know.
Absolutely. But,
Ricky and Frank.
Yep, everybody.
You
yes.
know, Lars, here's a story about Roberts, and you can tell me if this is true. They are the longest, oldest running family-owned business in the United States of America.
I believe that's correct. I believe that is correct. My side of the Bromberg family got out like in the 40s, and started National Woodworks. So we've been out of my side of the Bromberg family's been out of the jewelry since about the 40s. So, but we're still all family.
Yeah, no, that's, I was just giving you a hard time. You know that. You're my buddy, so I can give you a hard time.
You can give me a hard time.
So you've been going around the course. Is everybody having a good time out there?
Everybody is having an incredible time. I mean, from the moment they got here at Backdrop to the incredible Bloody Mary bar with all kinds of toppings to, this weather that is...
You were getting after the shrimp earlier.
Oh, we like the shrimp, yes. We like the shrimp and the Bloody Mary. And this weather is almost like... I mean, I feel like there's going to be a football game tomorrow night.
And what kind of what kind of prizes are you giving away here at the conclusion?
Well, we have some fantastic... what I do is a prize table. Instead of like having four of the same thing for first place and four of the same thing for second place, I do a prize table with all kinds of stuff, and the first team gets to come up and pick their stuff out. And this year I do big bundles of actually alcohol. So I have about, I don't know, 20, 30 bottles in bundles, and that's a prize. So usually that goes first. And I have like Beats, what are those? Beats?
Headphones.
Thank you. Yeah. Beats headphones. We've got one of those robotic vacuum cleaners, a really nice one.
Did you rig the raffle again so I can win?
I did.
The big trip?
Yeah, the big trip. Did you ever take the big trip?
No comment.
Yes, the first year you came. You actually won the grand prize. I couldn't believe it.
It was
fantastic.
It was fantastic.
Uh-huh. And he got a chair.
And I got a chair, yes.
He got a very nice ergonomic chair.
She was giving me a hard time about this chair. It's been in my garage forever, and I don't know what happened to it. And she wanted me to bring it back because apparently this chair is worth $1,000, and I thought it was like a $5 chair.
No.
I thought it was like a lawn chair.
No. I'll have to give a plug to Business Interiors. They donate it. It is a very nice ergonomic office chair.
I think Patty even pushed me in the chair to my car.
Yes, I rolled you to your car.
All right, we need to go to break, Matt. This is it.
Patty, this is a wonderful deal.
Thank y'all so much for coming. This just makes it fun.
Yeah, we have a lot to complain about.
Yeah, this is a bad day at the office, isn't it?
If I wanted a Mai Tai, I guess I could order one.
We can make that happen.
I'm not much for drinking on the air. You know why? Nobody knows this. I was telling Lars about it. Do you know why people slur their speech when they have too many drinks?
Hmm.
Alcohol engorges your tongue.
Oh.
That's how it's absorbed into your system immediately.
So you'd be a tongue twister.
That's the way you are.
That's the way
and I don't want to end the show.
With a thick tongue.
Patty, great works.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. Just hope we raise a lot of money and keep
Real quick, can they go online and find you? People
absolutely. They can go to www.bridgewaysal.org or they can go to our Facebook page, Bridgeways, and there's a donate button on either one of those. So come find us. Come find me. Come play next year. Be a team.
Perfect.
Well, yeah. I mean, you did pray for this day.
I did.
and you got the weather you wanted.
I did.
So you have a direct line to the man upstairs.
I have a direct line, and we all have a direct line. You just have to tap into it.
Absolutely.
And I have tapped into that line many times and had the best weather for just about every event we've had. So thank you, Jesus.
All right. On that, we can certainly go to break on Big News Sports.
On the next Inside the Locker Room with Coach Wimp Sanderson and Barry Sanderson.
Tune in Friday. We'll discuss the Florida-Utah game. We'll talk with Coach Sonny Smith in the second hour. We'll get you ready for the weekend of all the great SEC action.
Inside the Locker Room, weekdays 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide100.9.com.
Okay.
Weekday mornings at 6 a.m. The Martin Houston Show.
Join us tomorrow for a free-for-all Friday on The Martin Houston Show, man. We're going to be talking keys to victory. We're going to talk score prediction. We're going to talk about Alabama wins. If we invite you to get in on the conversation, we'll see you and talk to you tomorrow.
Catch The Martin Houston Show from 6 to 7 weekday mornings on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partly to mostly sunny this afternoon. The high today in the upper 80s at 88. Mostly fair tonight, the low 69. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds. The chance of a few passing showers or thunderstorms during the day. The high at 84. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 85 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
More Big Noon Sports coming up.
Back in to Big Newton Sports. Lars and Matt, we are hanging at Greystone Legacy on a picture-perfect Thursday afternoon. Just a programming note, we will be at Innisfree tomorrow in Tuscaloosa from 12 to 2. Love to just see as many of you as possible. Come down and enjoy a great lunch, and we'll talk some sports. And I know Matt, we're both really looking forward to going to Innisfree.
When we were in there last week, there was a board over there and it said a meet and three for $9.99. I said, you know, that's a college kid's budget. Although the budgets of college kids today are a lot larger than they were when you and I were there. But I said, does that include two? And they said, no, three. Three vegetables and a meat. So that's a heck of a deal. Not to mention, come on by and we'll talk some college football. I'm going to talk to the people at Tide, see if we can't get a live mic. And somebody wants to come up there and ask a question. Yeah, you know, it's easier than a phone call. So it is free right there. Going into downtown from the campus, you really can't miss it. And those that are familiar with Innisfree and Tuscaloosa know it's been there a while.
Yeah, and Laura Lee Thompson is going to join us. She's going to be hanging out for quite a bit, the Bama broker. And we're going to have a bunch of different guests filter through. And we're also going to have several guests coming through here in the second hour. There's quite a few former Alabama players that are on the course, and they are just starting to wrap up. And as they come off, we are going to grab them and get their thoughts on all things Crimson Tide. We're going to be joined by Steve Irvine here at the top of the hour, longtime sports writer who has basically covered everything. And Matt, I didn't know Steve that well until you introduced me to him. I knew of him, and I've just always been just so impressed with Steve and how he conducts himself, not just on air, but how he practices journalism. He does it the right way.
He absolutely does.
I just have an appreciation for that, because I see so many people do it the wrong way.
Is it? You see a lot more.
Yes.
Than you did when you first came, and so do I.
Yes.
That was probably a really lame question, because I think
it's just
the average fan could answer that, and I hope they recognize it.
Yeah. the rush to be first has just absolutely it's destroyed careers, because you get stuff, you get it wrong, and also I think too many journalists, if they have a scoop, right, they'll go with that and not realize or not fully grasp the long-term ramifications of, say, burning a relationship, burning a bridge. And you always need to weigh, hey, is it really that important to disseminate this information about a particular individual, rather than just, you know, kind of holding on to it and preserving the relationship you have with that individual. And I think that is a big reason why you have big time athletes, big time coaches. They have been burned by reporters over and over. And that's why the animosity, or one big reason why there's more animosity between sort of the players and coaches and the media than ever before. And that's why access has been limited like never before.
Well, and I understand that. And I think that.
Or do you agree? Do you agree with my analysis there?
Oh, yeah. I agree 100%. And it has troubled me, because those troublemakers, pardon my redundancy there, but they've made it very difficult for the rest of us. And to be honest with you, they've made it difficult on the fans. Because when you limit our access, you limit the fans' ability to consume it. And that's, I brought that up. Not sorry right. We did, because I wanted to go to a couple other topics.
Okay, can I just ask you one thing? Can I just ask you one thing real quick? Do you think the fans, because of what we were just talking about, do they know less about the players now than they did, say, 15 years ago?
I think they know about what... Oh, yes. In answer to your question, yes. I think when it comes to actual football, that kind of stuff, it's a little bit the same, but less. But what they know a lot less of is that the second-string tackle's father played on the national championship team for Nebraska in 93.
Yeah.
Did they win in 93?
94.
Oh, my bad. But you don't get features. Do you see a lot of features on players now?
No.
We used to do at least one or two a week on either an Alabama or Auburn player. It's just a gift. You don't see that. And maybe that's kind of a trend with the media, too. Okay. Quickly, because we're about to get real busy. We got Rob's coming on, Steve Irvine, and then Reagan from R&R. Let's see. Have you read about the U.S. Open odor? That's a loaded question.
No, but I want to hear about it.
All right,
oddly.
On one specific court, I think they said it was court 17. That means absolutely nothing, Matt. Girl was serving, and she stopped, and she just kind of looked around. Somebody was smoking pot very close to her, and she said it was distracting. Well, you know, there's only one odor like marijuana, right? I mean, it's pretty distinctive. And she said something about it in her post-match comments. And I was just going to ask you, have you ever been to a public event, a sporting event like that, where it was just all of a sudden, concerts don't count?
No.
But have you ever been to one where suddenly you just go, man, somebody just fired up a dude?
You and I were driving together into Tuscaloosa the other day. We were in the car, windows were rolled up, and I looked at you and I'm like, who's smoking weed? And
we're
it was
at
a guy.
Stop
it was,
sign, right?
Yeah, we were at a stop sign. It was the guy in the car right next to us.
It's crazy. But I can't remember being at a sporting event.
No.
And smelling it. But it's gotten to the point now where you can. You're not.
Would that be distracting to you? It would be distracting to me if I was a professional tennis player.
I think they went back and looked at all the video camera to see if they could find the person that was doing it. By the way, that's pretty brash. Are you gonna fire up marijuana in the middle of a U.S. Open match? But you're right. It sounds strange. Next hour, we'll talk about what odors would distract you if you're serving. No, just kidding. We get back at the top of the hour.
What is the worst thing you've ever smelled, Matt?
Let's do that at 2 o'clock. Wow. Now, see, you've distracted me. You're listening to Big Noon Sports. We come to you live from Legacy at Greystone. Please go to Ridgeways.com, and you'll see what we're talking about. Back in a minute.
If you're a home.
Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
WTUG HD2 Northport and W265 CG Tuscaloosa.
A Town Square Media Station.
What may it be? You can forget about it. Touchdown, Alabama.
Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
This is the Big Noon Sports Network.
We are back live at Greystone Legacy. We're at the golf course today in honor of the fine folks that work on Ridgeways. Take care of our youth. Young people learn to care, connect, and contribute. And you just heard from Patty Bromberg speaking about that. And we're going to speak about some college football coming up tonight at Protective. And I know one person that will be there. That's Steve Irvine. Steve joins us, as he often does, just about weekly now. Lars Anderson, Matt Coulter with Steve. What's up?
Well, I hate it for you guys
that
you got to spend the day at the golf course. That's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. It's rough. We're looking at two waterfalls here, and
number 19's right up there. And by the way, I walked over here. I mean, I just live right there. So it's
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I'm right around the corner.
Okay. Steve, let's jump right on the Blazers. Is this a slam dunk win? I'll lead with my jaw here. It's North Carolina A&T, which I'm familiar more with their basketball program, but is this a layup for Trent Dilfer in his first effort?
Well, it should be. I mean, I think this is a pretty good program, but, you know, I think they're a little down right now. You know, they just had a coaching change, and I don't know if down's the right word, but they had a coaching change, and so I think there's a lot of unknowns with them right now. And it's been a really, really, really solid program over the years. You know, probably 5-6 years ago, maybe a little bit more than that, it might have been the best HBCU in the country for like three years in a row. You know, they're really, really, really good, and it's a very steady program. But I just don't think right now that it's you know, with the change, I think it's going to be a little. It might not be a great season for them. But, you know, you never know, and it'd be interesting to see what, you know, how Trent Dilfer's first team reacts to this.
Steve, what is the best case scenario for UAB when you just look at the entire season? What is the win total for the ceiling, and what would be the basement?
Well, I've said all along, and I think that you kind of started getting the 6 wins. I really think it's, and I've said all along too, I really think it's a bowl eligible team, and then you go from there. You know, you go from, you know, kind of 6 to me is the line you start at, and then if you stay healthy, I think it can be a 8-9 win team. If you have a lot of, you know, problems with injuries or different things, you know, then maybe you don't make a bowl. But I think it's a bowl team right now, and just however the, you know, if the football gods are smiling on them, then, you know, then it could be better than that.
Let me ask you about the offense, in particular, quarterback and running back. Zeno will start. He's the transfer from Baylor, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Right. And big shoes to fill in the backfield. Is Brown going to get a lot of carries tonight?
Well, that's going to be interesting to see, because you know he got banged up at the end of the spring and ended up having basically had his knee cleaned. You know, had a little knee surgery, a little knee process that happened there, and he's totally clear to go. Has been strong during the camp. Looks strong, but I don't know that they're going to. I think they're probably going to ease him in a little bit. And really, they're six deep at running back, and six really good. And with Isaiah Jacobs right now has been so good in camp that you know, I think that you can ease him in, and you can have a lot of success with at the running back position. So we'll see. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how many carries he gets, but I don't see him getting a lot of work tonight, just because I don't think they need it tonight.
Steve, you've been covering college football for a long time. What about this Alabama team intrigues you the most, and what are you going to be looking at on Saturday night at Bryant-Denny?
Well, I mean, the two things. The one thing that obviously the quarterback position is intriguing, just because you don't know, you know. So I think that's going to be something that you look for. But I'm really looking forward to seeing just their offensive style. What do they do? You know, with Tommy Rees, how's it going to be different? Or you know, are they going to, you know, kind of go back to the old, you know, pound it out and running, you know, the running game leading the way type of thing. So it's really going to be intriguing. And not that you're going to see all that on Saturday, because I don't think that, you know, I hate to say it, but I don't think that the opponents that, you know, was that tough. And so I don't know that you're going to see everything. But I think you'll be able to see sort of the kind of the soul of the team and just kind of how they operate. So those to me are kind of what I'm looking for, at least in week one.
I want to get back to UAB for just a second, because I'm very intrigued to see just what his personality is on the sideline. Trent Dilfer, does he call plays? How does that work?
Well, he's going to be, you know, Alex Mortensen will call offensive plays, and Sione Taufo will call defensive plays, but Trent Dilfer is going to be very involved with both. You know, now he's kind of said that, you know, he'll be there and he'll be, you know, making suggestions. There'll be times that he makes a call, but for the most part, he's going to let the coordinators call it. And I expect to see, he's an animated guy, so I expect to see a lot of animation. I think he's going to be an excitable guy to sideline. And I don't mean really like yelling at officials or anything like that. I just think that he's just naturally, you know, kind of an exuberant guy. So I think you're going to be entertained, I think, by him a lot on the sideline.
All right, let's jump down to Auburn, taking on the Minutemen of UMass, who have actually played and won a game. But this is not a storied football program. I feel like Auburn will win by a greater margin than Alabama will.
I think so. I agree. I mean, I think that I really look forward to seeing what they do offensively. Just you know, how much they're able to do of what Hugh Freeze does, and so that'll be interesting. And you know, UMass, I mean, they beat New Mexico State, so I'm not sure really that counts of you know, winning a college football
they're
game, but
and have you know, forever.
Oh, yeah, New yeah. Now they've had a couple years that where they win a bowl game, which is great for that program. But yeah, so I don't expect this to be much, but I do. I am looking forward to seeing again how they operate and what they do, and you know, how Thorne is, you know, how he plays. And, you know, I don't know that Robbie Ashford, I know, is banged up a little bit, but, you know, so, you know, just kind of see the rotation, what they do there, what they do to rotation and running back. You know, I mean, I just think there's so many new guys on that team. It's going to be really, really, really intriguing to watch them over the first, you know, two or three weeks on, you know, on are they meshed already, or will they mesh, or where, you know, will they not mesh? And I mean, I just think it's going to be really a fun little journey to watch, you know, that many guys try to come together.
Steve, with week one literally kicking off here just in a few hours, this is kind of prediction time for all sports writers and sports commentators. Who are your four teams that will make the college football playoffs as we sit here on August 31?
Well, you know, oh boy, that's I think Alabama and Georgia are there. Georgia, I don't know. I mean, Georgia to me is I mean, they still have so much talent, but I'm going Alabama, Georgia. You know, I hadn't really thought of it that much because I'm just thinking about other stuff. You know, obviously Ohio State has a lot of talent. You know, Michigan, you know, Michigan is going to be intriguing with, you know, if they're, you know, I really want to watch them play to watch their offensive line. I've heard so much about how good their offensive line is. And you know, now you got to see them against the right people to really see if they're, you know, how good they are. But, you know, I think probably the winner, Ohio State or Michigan, will be there. And, you know, from there, I haven't thought about that much, Lars. I really haven't because I'm not, and I've said this before, I hate preseason predictions. I hate them. They mean nothing to me. I mean, because it's just, you know, and I understand why we do it. It's, you know, I understand that. But I'm just not a fan of them. I don't really think about it that much because it just really means nothing.
Steve, what do you expect? Yeah, and speaking of that, go ahead and give me a score for tonight.
Yeah, give us another prediction.
I'm going to go 45-7.
I think Dilfer and UAB Blazer faithful would be really all right with that.
I think they'll take that.
I have a feeling, Steve, that tomorrow Trent Dilfer will be one of the big stories coming out of the games today. Yeah, do you agree?
I think so. Yeah, because I think so. Because I think the country is really wondering what's going to happen with this, and if it's you know, if he comes out and they really look sharp and they blow a team out that they should blow out, then I think that, you know, people gonna, you know, pay attention. And then if they come out and struggle, you know, the people who are saying that he's gonna struggle are gonna go, oh, I see, we told you so, even though it's a week into it. But no, I think there's gonna be a lot of people looking at this game, trying to figure out, you know, just what he has and you know, who he is as a coach. And not that, I mean, obviously that's the, you know, you can't tell after week one, I don't care who you are, but there will be a lot of attention, I think.
Been awesome catching up with you. We got a full boat out here at Greystone Legacy. When we do this next year, you just come out here with us, all right?
Okay. All right. Now, they got a putt-putt course? Because I don't really play golf but anymore, so...
Practice putting green is about 100 yards from me.
Okay.
And I can put six in the water before I got it on that green.
I hear you.
Not very good anymore. Not that I was ever. All right, Steve. Good luck tonight. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate you guys. All right. Bye-bye.
You betcha. All right.
Thank you, Steve.
Steve Irvine. Who I've read. Gee, I forgot to ask him. He's picking up some freelance assignments. Now I can't remember what they are, so I'd like to plug him. Follow him. You can find him on Twitter, I'm sure.
Robbie Glenn coming up next.
Is it X? Robbie Glenn will be with us on the other side of the break. You're listening to Big Ten Sports.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partly to mostly sunny this afternoon. The high today in the upper 80s at 88. Mostly fair tonight, the low 69. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds. The chance of a few passing showers or thunderstorms during the day. The high at 84. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 87 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Covering SEC sports like kudzu on the roadside. This is Big Noon Sports.
That'd get a whole lot better than this. If it were, it would be tomorrow. From noon until 2, we will be at Innisfree there in Tuscaloosa.
serving up some meat and free. They got some vegetables, and of course, you know, within it's free, you're going to be able to find a really good quality cold beer.
At exactly 8:30 and 30 seconds this morning, I got a phone call. We were supposed to tee off at 8:30, and Robbie Glenn, former Alabama baseball player who helped us cover Alabama baseball this year, played in our group, and Robbie informed me.
You were late. Yeah. You cannot be late. You know, it's just part of it. You know, when you play sports, you're not late. You get there early, you warm up, you get ready to go.
My stepfather is a full bird colonel, and he tells me you're either early or late. There's no on time. There's no nothing. And the thing is, the one thing I love to do more than anything is play golf, and I can't believe I was late.
Well, you made up for it, though. You smacked it right down the middle, and you birdied the first hole.
Well,
and
thank
actually,
you.
I did play good in the first hole. I don't know what happened after that, but...
But it sounds like, you know, I had to leave our foursome after the 13th hole, and that's when you guys really kicked it into overdrive.
We did. We started playing well, and I don't know if it was you or we had a late young lady, Francis, was riding around with us, and since you couldn't, you needed
probably,
to ride back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, our
you guys are probably
Rich
inspired.
And I started down. Yeah. I started hitting the ball better. It was fun. So
what did we end up at?
I didn't have a score. 15.
15 under.
Yeah.
All right, I think we got a chance here
played
to win this
really
whole
well
thing.
Played really well in the back. It was fun.
Played really well after
what's
I left.
15.
15 under.
Minus 15. That's good. That's great. Okay, Robbie, we've talked a lot about your son, Stryker. He's going through a challenging time right now. 8 years old. Just to tell our listeners sort of the whole story about Stryker and Stryker Strong and the golf tournament that you have coming up.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, first of all, I'm thankful y'all invited me out here. Anytime we can help with any other charities, and especially with kids involved, we're all in. And it was nice when I walked up and everyone's like, hey, Stryker's dad. And, you know, how's Stryker? And he's got a huge following. And, you know, he's had a tough 4.5 years, and it's getting harder. He's got two with his brain injury, you know, is a everyday fight. And so now he has two dislocated hips to top it off, and there's nothing they can do about it. Can't have surgery because he's too weak to be put under. And can't go through the therapy of the scars and the body cast because it's a 2-year process and he doesn't have 2 years to live is what the diagnosis is. So why would we put our son through that? So we just, my wife and I deal with it day and night, but we have a lot of supporters. This golf tournament has taken off. Stryker Strong is Friday, September 22nd at Highland Park. And we raise money for kids with brain injuries, kids with his syndrome, TBRS, Cat Brown-Rahman syndrome. We also help Miracle League with some of their sports need with kids with special needs. We help some other local charities that deal with kids also with special needs. And any way we can get Stryker's name out there and help, we're all for. 288 golfers are signed up, sponsors on every hole, and we're blessed with all that. And it's been really nice, and I hate Stryker's having to go through this to touch this many people, but it's also it's a blessing also.
You know, I've told you this so many times, Robbie, and we are good personal friends. I'm just amazed at the strength of you and your wife and the fact that, you know, you don't bring in caregivers. It is just, it's you and your wife 24/7.
It is. And we tried the caregivers at the beginning, and you know, and a lot of them, and it's not their fault, but some of them are older, and Stryker is a lot of work, and some of them couldn't pick him up if anything went wrong. And we have some friends that'll come help that are nurses, that are great friends of ours, and let Lindsay, my wife, take a shower so she can step away and do that. But we don't leave. We don't have trips anymore. We don't, it's, you know, I go somewhere and she stays, or she goes somewhere and I stay, and that's our life right now. And but again, you know, it's tough. It's really hard.
Yeah.
But he's here, and so that's also a blessing that I get to see that smile every day, even if he cries or if he gets sick, he's still going to find a way to smile. So,
you know, it really is amazing. I brought my kids over to see Stryker, I don't know, a couple months ago. And just the smile that he beamed out at Lincoln and Autumn and Farrah. And I tell my kids all the time about Stryker, and I think his legacy or his impact is going to be so far reaching.
My mindset is even, you know, and you hate to have those words in your mouth, but even when Stryker passes, my goal is to keep Stryker Strong going and keeping his name and helping kids all the way down. And that is my goal, and because he does have a big following, and I think we reach a lot of people and we help a lot of people. But again, my mindset is that way. Now, when that happens, it's going to be hard. So, the goal is right now to keep it going, because I want Stryker to continue.
Have you talked to other parents around the country who have children that have the same affliction as Stryker?
Yes, with his syndrome. We've talked to a few with brain injuries, but there's other ailments that kids go through, cancer and stuff that kids go through, and, you know, parents giving up what they need to do. And so, yeah, we talked to a bunch of people, and it all helps, but it's still hard and on them and us. So there's really, sometimes you just like to talk to some people, and get some stuff off your chest. Me and my wife, It's a tough situation there, and we know, but we have a big following and support group with family and friends, talking to y'all on the air with sports and everything keeps me going, and golf tournaments and my friends, and that's how we keep pushing through. And like I said, Stryker finds a way to smile, and he will. When you're hurting, he will smile somehow, and it makes it all better for a little bit.
I was joking with you that every time I see you, you look like you've gotten bigger. Like, I mean, in a good way. Like, you've been working out, obviously.
Yep.
And you can hit the ball about 500 yards.
Yeah, I don't know where it's going, but I started hitting the ball better there at the end. But, yeah, when you're at the house, a lot of push-ups.
Yeah,
so
is physical exercise a good release for you?
Yeah, it is. I'll go in and rep out. I'm not repping out 300 dips at one time, but I will do 300 a day on the dip board. And I try to do whatever I can, because, one, I got to still pick him up. My wife can't do it anymore with his dislocated hips. I have to do it every day. So that's my goal, is to, you know, keep fit and keep working. And it is a stress reliever.
And going back to your golf tournament really quick, I assume it's like pretty much sold out.
I have a waiting list of teams. People can still come out, be involved, sponsors. We're pretty full of sponsors too. We only got 3 weeks, but a lot of people like to come out and just be involved. We're giving away a golf cart. We're giving away door prizes. There's food. There's a DJ that played, Dustin from Tuscaloosa with Elite Productions, just does a great job. And, you know, if y'all are going to speak on the air,
there's a lot of
athletes that come out, and
it's fun
just to come out and be involved with the food. We have gun giveaway, just everything that can be going on. It's a party, but for a good cause. And strikerstrong.org is how you find out everything, and you can also follow him on there, and it has a video of him and how it happened and what we do and how to get involved. And again, we're trying to help kids all the way around. So if someone has a story. Like, we're getting involved with Cindy at Redmont Vodka. She has an ALS tournament coming up at Highland in October, and, you know, they're supportive of us, so we're going to support that. Anything we can do to help, you know, community, we're getting involved.
Matt, I kid you not, on, what was it, the second hole? Second hole. It's a par three, and we are approaching the green, and we see a older gentleman walking up a hill that is right next to the green, and he's carrying an AK-47.
Yeah, that was a little nerve-wracking.
It was a little distressing.
A man comes walking out of the wood with an assault rifle.
I called Patty Bromberg, and I'm like, Patty, what's going on here? And she's like, you're joking. I'm like, no, we might be past tense here in about 10 seconds, so you might want to send somebody out here.
My first thought, that was a heck of a way to fish right there. There was a pond, so I was like, man, that's easy fishing right there. He's just shooting the fish, but I don't know what was going on.
Apparently, he, works here? Or yeah.
He works at the course,
and it was shooting muskrat.
With an AK, with a silencer on it.
And I'm telling you, it was a little terrifying for me.
But we had a great time, a great cause, and Patty does a great job with this event. And just the venue is just, anytime you can play Greystone Legacy, you're coming out. But I tell you what, man, I want to take some of that action. Auburn will not do better than Bama in point spread.
I didn't say that.
I will
do better.
You said we'll take more of a point spread.
All right.
I just think going to California is going to be tough. It's the travel. But I like Bama at home, but I want to see the trenches. I want to see us dominate there, and I want to see if we cleaned up the penalties. Everything else take care of itself. Quarterback, running backs, all that. But can we dominate the line like we used to, and can we clean up our penalties? Can we be fundamentally sound again? That's the one thing Saban, I think, wants. And quarterback stuff, he's got that. I ain't worried about that stuff.
The Alabama standard.
I want to see people quit fourth quarter like we used to.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard nowadays because everyone with NIL deals, people transfer, but I want to see that. I want to see us manhandle some people.
Well, can you hang out for half hour of the show? Okay.
Yep.
We will be right back, and we're going to talk more college football with the owner of R&R Cigars. And Matt and I, we're going to make some picks along with Robbie, and I'm going to keep a running total for the year, picking against the spread, and it should be a lot of fun. So you're listening to Big Noon Sports. We'll be right back.
For championships.
Throws intercepted Alabama.
Built by Bama.
Alabama is still Alabama.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide kick off the 2023 season against MTSU. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by the Birmingham Racecourse and Casino, I-459, exit 31. You could be a winner too.
Looking
Sports Talk in Alabama. This is Big Noon Sports.
Welcome back to Big Noon Sports. Matt, Lars, and Reagan from R&R is with us. Reagan, what's going on in T-Town right now? You sitting out on that balcony having a nice smoke and a good bourbon?
Well, not drinking, but I haven't had any sense. But no, I'm having a great day. It was like 70 something degrees this morning. So, I mean, it kind of was like a fall day a little bit. It was a tease of fall this morning. And, my daughter Raina was out playing with the leaves. So, it was definitely getting into fall today, but it's a nice day. We've got the music on the porch right now, and it's only 87 degrees. It doesn't feel like we're in, hell currently. So, come on out to the porch. Heard you guys are sitting outside.
Oh, yeah. We're a little overlooking the putting green and first tee, ninth hole, all the nine yards. We're out here at Greystone Legacy, and it's just it's a beautiful day. We're doing it for Bridgeways, and we're glad to be here. But we got to get some picks going on.
Oh,
where do we start, Reagan? You pick a game and go.
I pick it. Okay. How about Florida versus Utah? Florida plus 4.5 versus Utah. Is that right?
Let's see. Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Well, why don't you get it started?
I was listening this morning, and I'm just not real confident in this edition of Florida. I like Billy Napier. I don't know if he's a fit there. We're going to find out. So it'd be a great way for him to start out. But I'm going to go to one area, and that's the fact that they're a mile above sea level. Gainesville is 177 feet above sea level. I don't know if Florida can keep their legs. Y'all ever been out west and tried to go up a flight of stairs? It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal. So I'm going to take Utah.
This is a really tough game. This is a tough game for Florida. And I am I'm with you. I'm going Utah as well.
Reagan?
I think Billy Napier is one of the worst coaches in college football as far as head coaches go. I think he's Cajun Willie Peck. I don't think he's a very good coach. I think Florida's probably gonna go 6-6 and they're gonna be wanting to fire Billy Napier at the end of the year after they get blown out by Florida State.
So
having said that, 4.5 seems like a lot. Utah doesn't have their starting quarterback. And because I'm just a general contrarian and you both took Florida, or you both took Utah, I'm just going to take Florida this weekend.
All right, let's go.
But I'm going to take Florida.
Let's go to the land of the Golden Gophers, Minnesota. Nebraska is +7.
You know how hard it is? Like, here's the thing. I was talking with somebody last night, and Nebraska is bordered by 13 states. And out of those 13 states, they produce 13 top 300 players between all 13 of those states. Out of those top 300 players, how many did Nebraska get? They got one. I mean, again, I'm going off of here a little bit personal stuff. I'm not a big row the boat guy, you know? I currently have a gopher at my house, and it is digging under my house, which is also playing into my pick today. I'm ready to kill this gopher. I don't know if I can kill the gopher, but I'm telling you, this is a big hole that this gopher has been bugging me. I need a gopher to go down this weekend, and for my sanity, you know, all that stuff about how hard it is to win in Nebraska and there's no talent on that team. They got a new head coach that couldn't get a lot of talent at the Baylor Bears, and he made it work. I don't care what happened to the Carolina Panthers. That's the NFL. This is college. Nick Saban didn't do well in the NFL. Matt Rhule is actually a pretty good college coach. So I like Nebraska +7 that they're getting. And I hope that I hope somebody takes care of a gopher this weekend.
Maybe both will. I'm going with Nebraska, and that's all I got to say because I'm sitting right next to Lars, and he has an AK-47.
No.
Oh, wow.
This is a joke.
It's week one, but this is my lock of the year. I'm betting my house. I'm betting my children. I'm betting my smoking hot girlfriend. Nebraska not only covers, they win.
Wow. Okay.
They win. Okay.
Let's bring it back home.
No, don't tell her.
Let's bring it back home. You've got Auburn. Mark.
Come back to earth a little bit.
Auburn takes on UMass. The Tigers are... Click that phone again for me. Tigers are 35.5-point dog. Excuse me.
Favorites.
Excuse me.
Oh, they're favorites.
That's the way it read. Yeah. They're the favorites. But I bummed that up. I'll never know. Who you got, Auburn or UMass?
UMass sucks. Like, UMass is, like, the only team that, like, doesn't win games, like, ever. I think they had Walt Bell as their coach, and that guy was, like, honestly one of the stupidest coaches that I've ever heard. Walt Bell was a total moron. And UMass, they're, like, one of those schools that, like, I'm surprised they're playing football this week. Because
you know, I COVID would be a little bit too much for them. But UMass is about as scary as COVID is too. So, I'm going to take Auburn and the 35.5, and Q3. Like, there's no way Q3 is supposed to get there at UMass.
I think there's one thing you need to factor. Not that Hugh Freeze is in a habit of running scores up, but I think he's going to score late if he can. I don't think he's going to be throwing 50-yard fly patterns with 4 minutes left in the game.
Oh, no, Hugh Freeze runs scores up. Hugh Freeze runs scores up. He does.
So that, I think that factors in. So I'm taking Auburn and Lars.
I'm going UMass. I don't
UMass.
The question at quarterback, it's going to take a while for Auburn to work in the new quarterback. I think the offense is not going to click right away, and I'm taking 35.5 points and going UMass.
All right, we saved the best for last here, Reagan. You got Alabama at home, obviously. 39.5 points versus the Blue Raiders. Reagan, break it down. Give us your pick.
I think that Alabama could line up in the triple option, and Jalen Milroe doesn't have to throw a single pass. And I think Alabama would score probably 70 points versus Middle Tennessee State. Now, I understand Middle Tennessee State beat Miami Hurricanes last year. Okay, wow. Miami Hurricane. But having said that, Miami Hurricane sucks. I'm sorry to the three listeners out here that might be Hurricane fans. I really apologize, but Mario Cristobal's not your guy. This one seems to be people overthinking it. This is like the classic 55-7 game or 55-14. I don't know who the quarterback's going to be. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. And guess what? You're not going to know who the starter is until next week anyway, because it's not like they're going to have to do it. Like, if Milroe throws 5 picks versus Middle Tennessee State, then I guess he would probably not start versus Texas. And vice versa. I don't think you're going to get a lot of clarity about the quarterback situation after this game, because I do think it's important to keep Texas preparing for both, you know, over the course of next week. But regardless of who the quarterback is, if it's Loner Gap, I think this one's a blowout in Alabama. Easy covers, 39.5
or so. All right, Lars. Easy pick for him. He takes Alabama. I'm taking Alabama.
Jalen Milroe runs for over 100, throws for over 200 RTR.
Hey, as we close out here, Reagan, if Lars and I were to walk up on your new porch, by the way, what is the first cigar and bourbon you would offer me this afternoon?
Oh man, let's see. First cigar and bourbon. Well, the first cigar is obviously the Padron Damasco. That's my favorite cigar. That's the cigar that coaches smoke after the game. That's what a lot of the players smoke after the game. Unofficial number two cigar of the Tennessee weekend. And then I would get you, you know what? I would have a nice Yellowstone for you.
I tried that with your dad, and I liked it.
Yeah, there you go. See, me and Randy sometimes are on the same page. Yellowstone, great bourbon, one of our favorites. You'd have a really good pairing there.
Awesome. Well, we will do this again next week. And if you're in the Tuscaloosa area, even if you're not, even if you're Greystone with us, go to R&R and enjoy exactly what we've just talked about. Reagan, thanks a lot. Best to Randy and the gang around there.
We will see you guys later. Y'all stay cool today at the outside.
Oh, it's beautiful. God bless. Talk to you, Reagan.
See ya.
All right. You're listening to Big Noon Sports with Matt and Lars out of Greystone watching some golf. We'll be right back and wrap up the show.
Weekday mornings at 6 a.m., the Martin Houston Show.
Join us tomorrow for a free-for-all Friday on the Martin Houston Show. Man, we're going to be talking keys to victory. We're going to talk score prediction. We're going to talk about Alabama wins. If we invite you to get in on the conversation, we'll see you and talk to you tomorrow.
Catch the Martin Houston Show from 6 to 7 weekday mornings on Tide 100.9. Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Gary Harris coming up Friday morning on the TGIF edition of the Gary Harris Show. Adam Amin from Fox Sports, the Auburn Report with Brett Pritchard, plus my SEC point spread predictions for week one, and the Bama Football Trivia Contest will give away a national championship print from the 2020 season. All that and more.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide100.9.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partly to mostly sunny this afternoon, the high today in the upper 80s at 88. Mostly fair tonight, the low 69. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds, the chance of a few passing showers or thunderstorms during the day, the high at 84. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 87 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From T-Town to the Plains. This is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
Back on Big Noon Sports, Matt Coulter, Lars Anderson, along with Robbie Glenn, as we broadcast our final segment from Greystone Legacy for the wonderful folks that Patty represents. And Bridgeways, look them up, Google them, make a contribution or donate some time. All right, guys, I want to wrap it up with an interesting question. I want you guys to chime in on this. I read it on AL.com early this morning. At one thing that we've lost that I always like are tickets, hard tickets that you use to get into games or concerts. You save them. You know, you want that Alabama-Auburn ticket from 85, okay? Well, you don't get those anymore. Just a quick comment. I missed that.
You used to have your favorite players on those tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now I collect them. The characters of the tiger and the elephant.
Yeah, it has some players, Barker was one on one I remember having.
Well, Alabama is going to offer you the opportunity, if you purchase a ticket, you can go online. And for $15, they'll get you a ticket. Ah!
Wow.
Worked. 15. Well, you know what? I objected to them charging for Fan Day until I realized that was going to the collective. And then, not in the long run directly, that helps the University of Alabama football program. But every time you throw in one of these charges, I just go, man, really? What do you pay for the ticket to begin with? I think you can get into a game. Now, Middle Tennessee State is different, but the average cost of a ticket is like $92. And then these other people that are paying the licensing fees, you're getting into $5,000 and $7,000 and more. I guess to them it doesn't matter if you throw in another $15, does it, Robbie?
No, doesn't at all. And I tell you right now, that second game against Texas ain't going to be $92
for that ticket. No, that'll be one of the most coveted tickets in all of college football this year. Hey, guys, I wanted to ask you a quick question before we wrap up the show. Aside from the action on the field at game day at Ryan Denny, what is your favorite part of game day? I'll start with you, Matt.
It's easy, and it's been that way since I was a student. And, the student section usually gets there early. Back in my fraternity days, you had to get there early to save seats. And we wore suits, or at least a sport coat. God, it was brutal. Yes. But when Alabama's band, the Million Dollar Band, is in the student section, locked in, and they play the fight song, just
Even talking about it gives me chills. Robbie, what's yours?
That is a great, I love that too, but probably my best one now is now with the Bear coming on talking at pregame, and you have the best hits on this jumbo screen of all time, the football, you know, some of the best hits from Derek Thomas and everybody, and then the Thunder, and you start hearing it, and the crowd gets into it, and you're watching the locker room at Alabama on the big screen, and then doors kick open, and they're Saban with a big old lineman behind them. You ready to go to war, boy. I get fired up for that. That is a great tradition right there.
Does the technology exist? I really wanted to ask Greg Byrne this. Does the technology exist to have a hologram of Bear Bryant walking onto the field or leaning against the goalpost?
With AI, you could have him actually address the crowd.
Yes.
Seriously. Well, you can't. But,
my favorite part of game day is the quad. And just reconnecting with friends, bringing friends to the quad for the first time for a tailgate. It's what transpires outside of the stadium to me as I've gotten older is actually more important than what transpires inside of the stadium.
When you were in school, Robbie, was there anybody on the quad game day?
Yeah.
I know there wasn't when I was a couple of guys playing.
There was.
A couple of guys playing Frisbee.
We kind of did the off the quad kind of tailgating parties or wherever we went. Maybe it was Harry's or wherever we went to pregame and cook before we hit the field.
Harry's.
Yeah, Harry's was awesome back in the day. And, but yeah, great time for sidetrack, you know?
I used to own the sidetrack. At least I certainly paid my share of rent.
We used to have a good time there. Burgers and beer on Friday.
Oh, God.
So would you go to games with your baseball teammates?
Yeah, we were. Yeah, that's who you went with, your teammates. You know, we had to go somewhere and then walk on over because we all stayed at Crimson Towers. And a lot of them are the apartments. And just walk on over the game and enjoy it and have a good time.
I'll bet baseball playing football players would show up for your games, your baseball games, wouldn't
they? Yeah, well, we had a lot of football. You know, Philip Doyle.
He played both. He was a good player. Yeah.
Everybody was playing back then. Boo, Derek Warren. So all those guys played both. Come back out. So yeah, everybody was close back then.
Is there a favorite game that sticks out in your mind from when you were a student and playing baseball, but in football? Was there a favorite game that you, like, tell your friends about?
Well, of course, going to the Miami, you know, at Miami when we win the national championship was one of the best because they didn't give us a chance, and Miami was out there early. We're all celebrating, and, oh, y'all afraid to come out because Bama didn't even come out for a while, and they were out there and their shirts off and taunting the crowd and also
wearing a bunch of fatigues.
And then the end zone opened up, and the whole team ran out as one, and it was like the whole crowd went up. So that was great.
Do you remember what Miami did? This was the final straw as far as we're about to whip the Canes' butts. When Alabama ran onto the field, Miami turned their backs to them.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Yeah.
And then when...
That aggravated me.
Brother Bill came up with that defense, 11 on the line at one time. You saw Geno Torero didn't know what to do. But probably my favorite game of all time was at Tennessee when Philip Doyle kicked the game-winning field goal with no time left. And he also got hit. Remember, he had a bloody lip talking on him, but he made the field goal, so it was good. He was roughing the passer. But the craziest thing, we celebrated, had the best time. And I swear, Philip Doyle was at our apartment partying 45 minutes later. Like, I felt like he just got... I was like, how did that happen? I mean, it wasn't 45 minutes, but it seemed like it. Yeah. Like, they get on the plane right away and just fly back, and he was, like, coming in celebrating. That was probably one of my favorite games right there when he kicked the game winning on it. Like, that was great.
That's a cool memory. Okay, one more question for you guys before we got to get out. When did you first realize that things were going to be different under Nick Saban? Was there a game? Was there a play?
Wow.
Was there just a mindset? And I'll go first. It was the A-Day game. When there was
96,000
people showed up. That's when I knew that Messiah had arrived.
I don't really know, Robbie.
I don't know. Maybe when I started seeing the size of the players that started coming to Bama, just the five stars and just the excitement that he brought. But yeah, A-Day was a big one. I've just seen everybody come out and the passion that got involved in. But when you start bringing in players like Trent Richardson, Julio Jones, and all these players that were just the mindset of them and how good they were, it's just, wow, Alabama just bought in. And when he took charge of the whole program, like it was his way. And that was something.
And Matt, is there a game early in the Saban tenure that you were like, okay, this is a little different. This isn't Mike Shula.
I'd probably have to look back at
Virginia
the schedule.
Tech. Yeah, Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech. Which one was the kickoff classic that was that in 08?
That we dominated them.
That was Saban's second year.
So it was 08.
Right? I think it was second year. And I want to say, because I
that's a good one, Lars. I think you're right.
I ran into some football players at Virginia Tech at Club La Vila in Panama City, and they were like, we knew we were in trouble when your lineman had abs and just started just pushing us around. Yeah. So
We gotta dig deeper into this.
You brought up two great topics with 5 minutes to go.
I know.
We'll do it again tomorrow.
Good place to do it.
Hey, we'll be at Innisfree tomorrow. Thanks to all the folks here at Greystone, and particularly to Bridgeways for their contributions. Thanks, Robbie. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Buckner here.